This is the operator. At this time, this call is being recorded, and you may begin.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Glenn. Good morning. Morning for Argentina and for the States to everyone, and for Glenn, it's afternoon, and Philip, also afternoon. How are you? Glenn, could you do a roll call for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Olga. We've got yourself, Chuck Gomes, Philip Shepherd, Tony Harris, Bob Hogarth, and myself. Have I missed anybody?
Okay, great. Thank you, Glenn. Hello? Okay. Okay, before we start, I would like to ask you something. The next Monday, it's a holiday. In the case that we want to meet, we should think about perhaps moving the day if the people living in the space want to change it or keep it in the same day. That we should think about if we are going to make another meeting next week, if we need it.
Okay, well, Olga, I will be hopeful that we can almost complete our work today and do the rest
I totally agree. I just wanted to raise the issue because maybe I forget. I have it in my to-do list here. I totally agree with you, Philip, that we are quite done with the documents, but just we should keep this in mind. What I did after our call is I cleaned the documents, the draft documents, and I put all the principles and statements in only one document that I think I really sent it to Rob. He made some changes and he added some introductory text. And then I rephrased it again and sent it to the list on Friday evening, I think, or Saturday morning.
Olga, this would be something you sent on the 23rd then?
Sorry, Tony, what...
You sent this on the 23rd of August, right? Just to make sure I have the right document open.
Yes, it was one document I sent after exchanging some ideas with Rob, and then Chuck sent a document like 2 days ago, Chuck?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, you're right, with some changes, which I think they are quite good. And then this morning, early morning, as if for me, Philip sent another document. I really had no time. I had time to review Chuck's changes, but I had no time to review Philip's document, and I had no time to compare because it's not changes over the previous document. It's a new document, which I think that has the same kind of the same content. So,
yes, and Olga, perhaps
yes.
Chuck could also speak for it. I mean, what I did was took your document with Chuck's edits, and just really did a final revision on that, taking out errors, repetition, turning statements into principles. And making that classification between the two types of principles. So I was not introducing any new material, just hoping that the phrasing was clearer than where we'd got to with the other ones. Now we'd seen that first useful grouping you did of all our principles together.
And Olga, this is Chuck. I'd like to suggest that if there's agreement by others that we use Philip's version as the takeoff point for our discussion this morning, because I think you did a really nice job of organizing it, and it will allow us to, proceed more quickly.
I totally agree with you, Chuck, but I must confess that I didn't go in deep comparing all the two versions, the one that you modified, that we prepared with Philip. I agree that he did a nice job, so if we all agree, we could use Philip's document for discussion today. If anybody wants to say something about this?
It's okay. I find it sounds reasonable to me.
Tim, I agree. This is Tim.
Okay, Tim, how are you?
Good.
Do you have the document, Tim?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So let's... So if we all agree, let's go. Do you think we go reading it sentence by sentence? It's not that a long document. I think we can review it in while.
I think that's a good idea because, like you said, some people haven't had a chance to look at it.
No, me, I must confess, I looked at it. I thought it was good, but I didn't go through it in deep. So I will start from, well, we all agree in the title. We like it, the title. We want to change it. No, it's the title just for working. Sorry. We have introduction, which is A. This text was prepared by Rob. Thank you, Rob, for this contribution. I checked, and it's in Chuck document, and the text suggested by Rob, it's the same, and it's the same that Philip included. So I think we can. You want me to read it, or we can just accept it like
you,
it is?
You don't need to read it, but I do have a comment, Olga.
Go ahead.
And it's not so much about the wording, because I think the wording probably comes from the motion, but it caught my attention this morning when I'm going through this, that it says the CCNSO to appoint a community-wide working group. If that's the way the motion is worded, we probably need to leave it that way, but we may want to at some point in our document talk about that. I'm not sure it should be the CCNSO that appoints a community-wide working group, but I'm curious as to what others think.
Yeah, you've got a point there, Chuck. But it does say on a proposal by the CCNSO to appoint.
No, yeah, I understand that, but that doesn't mean that they would appoint the community-wide working group.
Hmm. Perhaps we should say on a proposal to the ICANN board, or...
Would you suggest any change, Chuck?
Well, you know, I just caught this a few minutes ago because I just looked at Philip's...
But you think... I think you're making a very important comment, and...
I think we just need to ask Rob
Tim,
to
I guess
back
I didn't
to
really
the
read
resolution,
it
don't we? And he can make that change accordingly.
Together. Sorry, who was first? Who wanted to tell? Philip, you said something?
Yes, that's right. I think in this case, it's just a question of accuracy.
Yes.
We can just ask Rob to check the words of the original resolution and to record that correctly. I think it's probably just the way it's phrased, and I think we're expecting the board to appoint the community-wide working group based on a proposal by the CCNSO, but essentially it doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what the original proposal said, because that's what we're reacting to, so Rob can check the accuracy of that.
But
I will do so.
Yeah, and if it is accurate, then I think a comment would be in order that our expectation would be that the board would appoint
group,
the community-wide working group, not the CCNSO.
Right. And that's, in detail, that's what the resolution, one of the whereas clauses does provide, Chuck. So I think it's a matter of just substituting in that ICANN board language.
Good. Okay.
Okay. I suggest that I could check, myself and Rob, we could check the documents, the CCNSO working group document and the board resolution. Or perhaps what we could do is only mentioning the ICANN board resolution and not saying anything about the CCNSO, because it's a request by the board. What do you think?
We can do either. I'm more than happy to follow up on that. I think my draft language was somewhat inartful in that the CCNSO asked for that to happen, but you're correct. The actual action would be by the board to appoint the working group.
Rob can submit a proposed fix to the language on the list. It should be easy to review. Okay.
Yes.
And we can all check afterwards.
Just for clarification on this call, shall we now assume that Rob is going to be the pen holder for our changes?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you very well, Philip.
Just for clarification, as we go through my document, shall we assume that Rob will be the pen holder for any changes we make?
As you want. I can do them, or Rob can do them, as you want.
But it's up to you, Olga. You're a volunteer. Rob's paid for it.
I would write down, like I did before, all the changes and proposed text, and then we can review it with Rob in the areas that he committed his help in making suggestions or changes, if you all agree.
And I'm also making notes as well.
Okay, great. Okay, then we have the Chuck's comment about the introductions, which I think it's a very interesting comment. I didn't think about it. The NSF board would appoint the working group and other, no, this is my comment. The GNSO strongly supports the formation of such a community-wide working group and will provide volunteers to serve on the group. Do we agree on this sentence? Okay. The GNSO support.
Okay, just one correction. It's yes. Typo. Community wide should be hyphenated as it is
okay.
In the first paragraph.
Community wide. Working group also, Philip?
No, just community wide. There should be a hyphen between the word community and wide.
Okay. The GNSO supports geographical diversity in the ICANN community and supports efforts to explore improvements to the definitions of regions. Geographic regions are relevant to the GNSO with respect to creating an implementation mechanism for the diversity of GNSO council members. Do we agree? Great. Then there is a title that says GNSO reform. The application of diversity based on regions will need to be addressed in the context of the forthcoming new structure of the GNSO Council. In that new structure, the GNSO recommends that the balance between regional diversity goals and effective council membership is considered.
Shouldn't it be considered?
Philip? I'm not an English speaking. Any comments are welcome.
I mean, the way it's written, shouldn't it be considered?
Yeah.
Effective council membership should be considered. Hold on. Okay, so it says now in that new structure, the GNSO recommends that the balance between regional diversity goals and effective council membership be considered. Is it okay? Regional diversity goals and effective council. I think there is a missing word, but I'm not a native speaker.
Well, you could
so
put a should in there that it wouldn't hurt.
I was going to say should. Should be considered. Do you agree? Okay.
Yeah, should be considered. Absolutely.
The structure, the GNSO recommends that the balance between regional diversity goals and effective council membership should be considered. I think it's better. Okay. Moreover, the goals of geographical diversity should be considered in working groups model for policy development.
A couple minor edits. I think it would be helpful to have a the inserted before working group.
Yes.
And then I don't think the S is needed in
exactly.
Working groups, although it's probably a minor point.
I totally agree with you. So my English is not so bad. I have the same doubt that you have. Moreover, the goals of geographical diversity should be considered in the working group model for policy development. We agree? Now we have...
Yeah, it's a new thought. I hadn't thought about this before. But I don't see anything wrong with it, but I'm wondering how that would work.
I don't know. I couldn't understand what you mean, Tony.
But of course, since the working groups are apparently going to be the star performer in the new GNSO, perhaps it's wise to put that in after all.
Yeah, you're right, Tony. It is a new thought. When I was looking at this yesterday morning, I realized that that's an important area. I don't think it has to be a showstopper or terribly difficult, but certainly I think in the working group model, we're going to want to, to the best as we can without making it too rigid, you know, encourage geographical diversity in the working groups as well.
But it should be a non-exclusive kind of
right
philosophy,
yeah.
Right? If we can't, if it can't happen, well,
yeah,
we'll go ahead anyhow.
You can't force it. Yeah,
yeah, that's
exactly.
That's the thing.
That's
so something we need to consider when we define the working group model, but how that will be defined is yet to be seen. So there's no commitment here. Other than to consider it.
So what you're saying, let me understand if I follow you. You say that working groups may not have a geographical diversity?
You may find it, you may not find the volunteers cover all the areas. That's what I'm thinking.
But we're not going to talk about that here.
Okay.
Right, right.
We leave this sentence. We agree.
I think I was happy with what I mean. Basically, is what Chuck had written earlier, and I think it just says it. It's just basically you know putting a marker down to say we need to think about it as well for working groups, but we don't need to go into the detail now.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So we agree in having this sentence.
Yeah.
Okay, we have the introduction. We went through the introduction. Now we go to point B, which is principles for consideration by the community-wide working group. Community-wide here has an hyphen, and in the other community-wide, it doesn't have an hyphen. What we should use? What do you think?
We put in a hyphen before.
So it's consistent now. The title's fine.
Gina so recommends that as the working group begins its deliberation, it first adopts a set of principles that will help guide the group's work. And then we have a title, Principles of the Relevance of Regions.
Before you go there, I want to talk about that sentence. I do have a comment on that introductory sentence. What I'm wondering is, by the way, I agree with the sentence, so stay with me here. I'm wondering if we should specifically recommend that a charter be established in advance that includes the principles, or do we, you know, should we just leave that alone? I don't have strong feelings, but I kind of that's another thought that I had. One of the things that seems to help us in the GNSO a lot is if it's a well-defined charter in advance to guide the work.
I think it's a very good idea. So we should propose them to have a charter, and we're proposing some ideas. That's what we should say?
Well, what we could do is change this to say the GNSO recommends that a charter be approved in advance that includes a set of principles to help guide the group's work. Does that work? I mean, Philip, you can probably word it better than me, but you...
Let's use the word terms of reference rather than charter.
That's fine.
How about the GNSO recommends that the following set of principles be adopted into the group's terms of reference?
I'm okay with that.
Oh, could you repeat it to me?
The GNSO recommends... that the following set of principles be adopted into the working group's terms of reference.
So now this sentence says, the GNSO recommends that following set of principles be adopted into the working group terms of reference. You don't say charter, that's okay, Chuck?
That's all fine.
Okay. So we delete the other version?
Yep.
Okay. Great. Go on. Save it. Okay, now we have... title says principles on the relevance of regions. Number one, we like the title. Do we agree? Number one, ICANN regions should take into consideration the varying needs and concerns of different regions. Comments? Number two, ICANN regions should provide the opportunity for those needs and concerns to be represented.
That one, I highlighted that one because I had some thoughts when I was reading it, and it actually ties into one down below that I thought was really good in terms of representativeness. If we look at that and number five, they kind of go together. So let me jump ahead to five. In making such selections, ICANN body should require that any individual selected from a geographic region is indeed able to represent the interests of that region in a relevant way. I think those two are connected somewhat. Maybe they should be grouped together. I don't know whether we want to change the order or not. Thoughts on that?
This is Tim. You're linking five to which point?
The two.
To two.
Okay. Sorry.
Tim, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, just if we're going to talk about five, I just, to me, four and five seem to conflict with each other, at least in my intent and some of the principles I tried to express.
Yeah, and they can, you're right.
Four says the geographic requirement should be based on measured, for membership to ICANN body should be measured by citizenship, and then five says in making such selections, the individual should be able to represent the interests of that region in a relevant way. So that those seem to conflict because citizenship isn't the measure of whether someone is able to represent the interests of a region in a relevant way. And what my point was, that I was trying to make before, was that, you know, five may make sense for appointments by the nominating committee, but five does not make sense for geographic considerations that maybe need to be made by the GNSO council. For example, in the constituencies and who they select to be on the council, or with the GNSO council and how they might try to put together the working group models. And so that's why I suggested that citizenship be the measure. But certainly, if the nominating committee is filling out the board or the nominating committee is filling out the council, then they may want to take that geographic requirement a bit farther, as five indicates, and looking for people who are able to actually represent the interests of the region. I just don't feel that's a practical thing to expect, at least the GNSO council to be able to do. There may be other ICANN bodies besides the nominating council that could, but I just don't think it's practical for the GNSO to be required to do that. So I don't know how we reflect that in there, but that's... It seems to get lost here a little bit.
I understand the practicality, and it's a very important issue. So I wonder, at the same time, one of the issues I was originally trying to raise, sometimes our citizenship requirement is pretty artificial in terms of really achieving the goals of geographic diversity. We get somebody that's got dual citizenship somewhere, and frankly, that's all we could do.
That's me. I could be a representative for Europe because I have a British passport, and I could also be for Latin America because I have an Argentina passport.
And maybe Tony could really represent Europe quite well. But at the same time, maybe he couldn't do that very well, and so yeah. we fulfilled the letter of the law, but we really didn't accomplish anything towards the objective of one of the real goals of geographic diversity. Now, how do we? Tim raises a really important concern because citizenship is simple, clear, makes it really easy to measure. So that's good in that regard. So maybe the goals of this representativeness of the regions become more of best practices rather than rigid requirements. That we use citizenship, but that within that we encourage that principle be the principle of representativeness be applied. Thoughts on that?
Well, you could combine citizenship, Chuck, with a requirement to demonstrate that the person is active in some institution or activity in the region.
I was going to suggest exactly the same that Tony said. I think that it's both. It's citizenship, and it's the involvement of this person with the community and with the issues related with the...
Yeah, we're slightly moving in, aren't we, to the application of the principles rather than the principles themselves. I mean, I think, going back to Chuck's earlier comment, I actually think that 2 and 5 are quite close in meaning and objective. And it may be we're sufficient in simply keeping 2 and deleting 5 here.
This is Tim. Just in, you know, to kind of answer Chuck's suggestion, you know, to kind of take it to the extreme, personally, I don't think that there should be any geographic requirement on the selection of council members or on the council's selection of board members. I think that the constituency should select the best representatives that they can select for the council, and I think the board should select the best board members that they can possibly select for the board. And geographic diversity might be some best practice, if possible, kind of thing, but not a requirement. And that, in my mind, then the nominating committee sits back and looks at the makeup of the council and says, how do we add some geographic diversity to that? And they're the ones that take care of that issue. Or in their selection of nearly half the board, they can take care of that geographic issue. But for the council or for the constituencies to be concerned, you know, in any depth with that, I think is a mistake, because then we end up sometimes, you know, with a very small candidate group from which we can select someone for the council or for the board. And I don't think that's a practical thing for us to do, and at times we may end up not selecting the best candidate simply because we're not allowed to. So that's what I was trying to, is I would like to leave that door open so that as we're looking at restructuring the GNSO, you know, we can have a lot more flexibility in that regard than what we do right now with the current bylaws.
Could I get in the queue, Olga?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to talk after Chuck, Olga.
Okay, Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, by the way, Tim, I like what you just said. I don't know if we can get it to fly within the ICANN world, but if that was indeed the case, then we wouldn't even need number 4 except maybe combined with number 5 for the nominating committee. That would take care of the issue of getting the best qualified and those who are able to serve on councils, et cetera, and on the board. And I think that would be good. So I think maybe what we need to decide then as a group, would we support that kind of a recommendation? Because that is a change from the emphasis on geographic diversity requirements as they exist today.
Thank you, Chuck. Tony?
All right, I just want to say, with all due respect, Tim, I have to disagree with you. Experience when ICANN was being put together in the days of the white of the International Forum on White Paper, there was no Latin American region. We were just the Americas, and I don't think to go away from some sort of constraint as far as our obligation would be the word, to respecting some geographic diversity, you would just end up with a board full of European and North American members. I mean, it will be inevitable because the people will be there who are brilliant, who are well known all over the world, and of course they will occupy all the seats.
I don't think so. I think what you'll end up with is the supporting organizations electing the best candidates that they can, and then you'll have the nominating committee filling out the geographic region requirement. And, you know, and I know this isn't something we should be debating here. All I was asking was that the requirements, or that the principles be stated in such a way that it leaves that door open. And it seems to me 5 sort of negates 4 in that it says, you know, that there should be more representativeness being able to be demonstrated. Where right now, it's pretty much citizenship. I'd like to keep it that way, so that if we are stuck with a geographic requirement for selected council members or board members, that it remain as a citizenship, because it still leaves some flexibility in there. So 4, I don't mind, but 5 seems to kind of contradict that and say that there should be, you know, more representativeness demonstrated than what 4 indicates.
Well, but we in our previous discussions, we all agreed. I think Chuck was came forward with that motion early in the game, which was let's not tie our hands to such an extent where a constituency really can't solve this because they don't have the diversity in their membership. I mean, we agreed on that.
Well, that's
so, but where we, I got, maybe I misunderstood you, Tim, but it seemed that you were sort of leaning towards, let's do away with geographic diversity in the GNSO as a concept.
Tony, I mean, that's what I would prefer to do, sure, but I'm not saying that we can reflect that in these principles. I'm just saying that I'd like to leave a little bit of flexibility there, and 5 seems to close the door on that.
Philip here, let me make a suggestion. As I say, I find that 2 and 5 are quite similar. 2 is more generic. Why don't we keep 2 and just delete 5?
Well, you know, one of the problems with that, and I may support it, by the way, but is that it's not so much the ICANN regions themselves that provide opportunity for needs and concerns to be represented, as it is the selection of people that come from those regions that really determines whether there's going to be good opportunity for that or not. So,
I wouldn't delete 5. I think it has. I understand Tim's concern, but I think it's kind of in theory, because in reality it doesn't work so well.
Olga, could you speak a little louder, please?
It's my phone. I'm so sorry. I said that I agree with Tim, but it's kind of a theoretical situation, because in reality I agree with Tony that some regions of the world are never considered, and always all the representatives come from developed countries. I like 5. I wouldn't delete it. Any changes?
Well, what if we change 2 to something like this? ICANN regions and geographical regional requirements should provide the opportunity for those needs and concerns to be represented.
That's a good phrase.
ICANN regions and geographical regional requirements should provide the opportunity for those needs and concerns to be represented.
Well, how about ICANN regions and selections based on them should provide?
That's better.
Could you repeat it, Philip, please?
ICANN regions.
Yes.
And selections based upon them should provide dot, dot, dot.
ICANN
regions.
And selections,
based upon them.
And then?
Then existing wording of 2. And we delete 5.
So it says, ICANN regions and selections based upon them should provide?
Yeah, everything stays the same from there on.
ICANN regions and selections based upon them should provide the opportunity for those needs and concerns to be represented. And selections based upon them. And you say deleting 5, Philip?
Yes, that puts into 2 the essence of 5 without being overly predictive.
Is that okay, Tim?
Yeah, because because 5 right now just seemed to like almost reference 4 in it by saying and making such selections, and so I think that works what was suggested works great.
Okay. Tony, what do you think?
I have no problem with that.
Okay. So we have number two that says, icon regions and selections based upon them should provide the opportunity for those needs and concerns to be represented. And we delete five. That's the idea?
Yes.
We agree?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Five is gone. Great. Number three, the makeup of ICANN's regions must be considered in the wider context of the geographical region requirements imposed on all ICANN organizations.
Philip here, just two typos for consistency. We should change must to should.
Should.
And the last word, organizations, to bodies.
Be considered in the wider context of geographical region requirements imposed on all?
ICANN bodies. It's just changing two words for consistency with the rest of the text.
Okay.
Yeah, and on this one, my concern is that, and I know we're just talking about principles, and I suppose our representatives on the group could drive this home, but I really hope that the terms of reference actually include the geographical region requirements and not just the definition of the regions. It's not clear right now that that was the intent to do that, but I think it's very important that that be included in the terms of reference. So I'm not sure that we will accomplish the goal with just the statement of this principle as it is, but maybe that's something that has to be reserved for our working group members. But actually, the terms of reference will probably already be defined before you ever get to the working group. So that's my concern there.
Would you suggest adding some other principle about this?
Well, let me think about that.
Because I think
that was one of the reasons why I used the word must, but I, Philip, I agree with your change of wording there for consistency. We could possibly add a second sentence there, parenthetical maybe, after that that says the terms of reference should include geographical region requirements. And I don't know if that's the right place to have that or not, but
I don't know if it's necessary, is it, Chuck? I mean, we're already saying up top now that we want these principles into the TOR, so that's sort of happening.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Okay, I'm okay. You get my point. I think this is really important that they not just define regions in this working group, but they actually look at the geographical requirements and suggest any modification to those as well. But I'm okay with that.
Okay. We also need to consider that we're sort of doing a lobbying job here, and the more high-level and wonderful the principles sound, the more likely we are to be successful in getting them adopted.
Yeah, well, of course, and I'm okay with what we decided to do here, but there's also the risk then that something like this gets ignored, and that's what I was trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are not adding any new text?
No, we're okay.
Okay.
I'm okay.
You're okay with should instead of must?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number three. Now we go to number four, geographic requirements relevant to membership of ICANN bodies should be measured by citizenship.
Well, that's where I think maybe we can consider including what Olga and I had thought of.
Yes, I like it.
Citizenship and demonstrable activities in an institution within the region or institutional body or whatever you want to call it, entity.
Well, then that creates a problem in my mind, in that I don't think it's practical within the GNSO constructs to expect that. If you want to say, you know, if you want to split this up and say, well, you know, here's what should apply to the nominating committee and possibly other bodies where it's relevant, but to the GNSO, we want to restrict the measurement by citizenship. But I think as soon as you, at least my opinion, as soon as you put it beyond that, you've made a very complicated and difficult situation for the GNSO and for its constituencies.
If we do what you're suggesting, Tony, that's like putting five back in.
Exactly.
Yeah, somehow, yeah.
Now,
okay, I won't go to war over that point. Perhaps Tim has a point there.
Idealistically, you know, I think that, you know, what we said in five and what you just said, Tony, is a good goal to work towards, and that's what I was getting at earlier when I suggested maybe that particular issue be encouraged as a best practice without being a requirement, because I think Tim's right. I mean, we in the registries already have problems even meeting the citizenship thing. The way requirements are defined now, if you add on to that, you not only need somebody that is a citizen, but somebody who is demonstrably representative of that particular community, it would be even harder. You know, in some cases, we've had one person that we could only identify one person that could meet the geographic diversity requirements, and if we had to then make sure that person was representative, we would have had no one. Which is unfortunate, because you really do want that representativeness.
Yeah.
That's why it's a best practice, I think.
I agree. It's more
right.
Of a NOMCOM thing than a generic thing.
Perhaps we could add some wording about the NOMCOM candidates?
I'd be okay with that. Adding a principle,
yes.
You know, a separate principle that
or
talks.
Or in the same one, saying that in relation with non-com candidates or.
What if we convert the wording in five to be focused just on the nominating committee participants?
You're now deducing issues to do with nominating committee, which.
Yeah, that's true.
BC will
should
have
we do that, or we should?
It's probably out of scope.
I would recommend it, but let's stick to GNSO matters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Philip's right.
Yeah, Philip is right. So,
but perhaps if we added something to say that due to the unique characteristics of the GNSO, and then, you know, mention the citizenship thing. So we would be saying that we consider this a solution unique to the GNSO.
What
do you guys
think? How would you say that, Tony, is number four with a change?
I'm sorry?
Were you suggesting changes in principle number four?
Tony,
no,
isn't it also going to be relevant to the
CCSO? I mean, you were trying to say that the nominating committee should handle this type of thing. And this is just another way of saying, well, we do it differently in the GNSO, but it's not important.
Philip, you were saying something.
Yeah, I think it would probably be the case of the CCSO as well, that citizenship is going to be the key. So I wouldn't specify it to the GNSO.
Okay. No problem.
Okay, so we leave it as it is?
Yeah.
Are we reading it again? Geographic requirements relevant to membership of ICANN bodies should be measured by citizenship. Okay. Okay, we go to new number five. ICANN regions should seek to balance three goals. Diversity of representation, ease of participation, and simplicity.
I'm lost at the meaning of this. Can somebody explain the rationale?
Okay. I put that in because I noticed that one of our principles for change later to do with participation that Olga had mentioned didn't really have any context. It was making an assumption which we hadn't specified. And what I'm saying here is that there are in fact three goals, which I think are potentially competing goals. There's diversity representation. That's the one we're mostly talking about. But also there was Olga's point about participation, that the regions do in some way, the choice of regions can make participation easier or harder. And there's also the one of administrative simplicity, that is having one system that works for all of ICANN versus a tailor-made different set of regions for every ICANN body. I thought it was worth just mentioning those three competing goals exist, and therefore a balance is required.
Any comments?
No, this is Tim. I like that. I think it makes some sense.
I like it also.
Yeah, it's okay with me. Yeah. I understand now, Philip. Thanks.
Okay. Chuck?
I'm fine.
Okay. Number six, ICANN regions should enfranchise both existing and future users. Comments?
Well, it's a hard sentence to object to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and an important one, too, because it'd be really easy to focus on one or the other, you know, and there needs to be a balance.
Great. So we go for number seven. ICANN should avoid, wherever possible, should be almost here, making geopolitical decisions in the designation of regions.
Well, why?
Tony, you said why?
Yeah, I mean, ICANN as a body itself is an interesting exercise. It doesn't look like the ITU or the OAS or anybody else I can think of. So regions could possibly fall into the same, oddball category. Why not?
This is an abstract way.
If it suits the purpose.
This is an abstract way of saying that if possible, they should use some predefined geographical regions. And Tony raises a good question there. Yeah, I mean, it may not even be possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I phrase it as wherever possible, but it struck me as a worthwhile base principle, because any discussion about that in terms of allocation of this country to this region or that territory to this region, etc., is pretty remote from ICANN's main mission. I think it's worth, discussion and review of regions, just having a focus back to ICANN's mission. That was what I was trying to say with that phrasing. But it's got a wherever possible. It's got a, recognition that it might have to take a decision, as it does currently, in its decision to say, the Americas as one UN region is insufficient for our needs, we're going to have two. Which I think was a good decision. So it happens, but I don't think ICANN should be discussing if Guadeloupe says they want to be in region A or B, and we don't want to have community-wide discussion about that.
Tony, your idea?
I'm not comfortable with it, but if everybody else wants to leave it in, I'll go along.
But do you have any suggestion, or deleting it, or changing it?
I would eliminate it completely. But it's just my opinion, and as I said, if everybody wants to leave it in, I'll go along with it.
It's one that I can live with, but I also wouldn't be terribly bothered if it was eliminated. One of the reasons for that is that it, how do you define making geopolitical decisions? I think it can be talked about, but it's going to be probably interpreted differently by various folks.
Precisely.
Any other comments?
And I do believe that ICANN's that there needs to be some flexibility with regard to defining geographic regions that best meets the needs and the near-term needs in ICANN as we know it today. Now, that may change and have to be adjusted in the future, but there may not be any geographical division definitions that really fit the needs of ICANN very well. Now, again, the wherever possible handles that.
Okay, what does Tim think?
Tim?
I guess I'm in the same feeling Chuck does. I could go either way with it. I don't have a problem with it being here with the qualification or wherever possible.
Olga, you haven't said what you think.
No, I think that wherever possible, they have the chance to avoid it or not. So I would go for leaving it, but it's my opinion.
Okay, I'll back off.
Leave it.
Okay. So we have number 7, ICANN should avoid wherever possible making geopolitical decisions in the designation of regions. And now we go to another title that says principles on the change of regions. Number 8, says any change to ICANN regions should improve on specifically identified imbalances. Comments? No comments? We leave it. Number 9, the goal of participation will be easier where ICANN regions correspond to regions defined by an existing international authority. This goal should be balanced with the goals of diversity and simplicity.
I disagree with that.
And this goes back to the last one in the previous section that we just spent time talking about.
But I think actually this was a point that Olga made on a previous call. And really, Olga, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it refers to participation when you're in a government entity. It's easier if you do this.
But
the GNSO is not peopled by government representatives.
Yes.
So I think with respect to the GNSO, this might not be appropriate.
I think that number 5 includes the concept that number 9 also rises. It says geographical requirements relevant to membership, but it should be measured now. Number 5, ICANN regions should be seek to balance 3 goals, diversity of representation, ease of participation, and simplicity. And I think there, Philip could include my comments.
Okay, so you're right. We could delete.
I have no problem in deleting
10.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Okay. We agree. Okay.
So let me make sure I'm clear. So we would delete what was 10.
Yeah, we're deleting existing 10 completely.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Then now it's now for me it's 9. It's the goal of participation will be easier. That's the one we are deleting.
Yes.
Okay. Because I already deleted number 5. My numbers are different. Okay. A single set of designated regions for ICANN as today adds to simplicity. A single set of designated regions for ICANN as today adds to simplicity, but this goal should be balanced with the evolving needs of ICANN's supporting organizations and other bodies. I think we have a problem of.
Possibly the language needs some tweaking. The concept seems to be okay.
The concept is okay. We need a comma or something in the middle.
As it stands today, or as it is today, possibly, right? And then a comma?
Yes. Single set of designated regions for ICANN as it is today.
It is today, comma,
adds
to simplicity, but this goal should be balanced with the evolving needs of ICANN supporting organizations.
Yeah, you don't really want a comma there.
No, mm-hmm. You have two commas.
Oh, you either have two commas or not, but
yeah.
Not just one. Yeah.
They have a comma after ICANN.
As it exists today.
And then you have, as it is today, comma, as simplicity.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
So a single set of designated regions for ICANN, comma, as it is today, comma,
as it is today, comma,
adds to simplicity, but this goal should be balanced with the evolving needs of ICANN supporting organizations and other bodies. Now it's better, because without the comma, it was
confused. Yeah.
We agree on this wording?
Yep.
Right. So we go to the following one. There should be nothing sacred about the number of ICANN regions remaining at 5. Okay. Where there is uncertainty in the relationship of countries to regions, there should be a mechanism for resolving that uncertainty. That there is uncertainty in the relationship of countries to regions, there should be a mechanism for resolving that uncertainty. Comment? Okay, we go to the last one. ICANN regions should be reviewed with appropriate regularity. To that end, ICANN should have in place means to understand the evolving needs and concerns of different regions.
Can we go back to what was number 13? Because I was thinking on that before we jumped to the last one.
Tell me how it starts, because my numbers are...
Where there is uncertainty in the relationship of countries to regions.
Well, there is uncertainty in the relationship of countries to regions, comma, there should be a mechanism for resolving that uncertainty.
I think basically the mechanism, one mechanism that could be suggested, but perhaps there's no agreement on that, is that a country wants to change, I don't consider myself belonging to this region. We could take into account what RIR they belong to. I mean, there is a definite relationship between the RIRs and everything else in ICANN. It's IP addresses.
Tony, I thought we talked about this last time, because this is a generic version of my original suggestion that, in fact, the CC country manager should decide, which was pointed out, well, there could be other authorities like the RIRs.
Oh, you're right. We did discuss that. I'm sorry.
Right. So I thought we just agreed to leave it
okay.
Open.
Yeah, it's probably not for us to actually come up with a mechanism, but rather to point out that there needs to be one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Okay, so...
That's okay, Willie.
And we go back to the last one. ICANN regions should be reviewed with appropriate regularity. To that end, ICANN should have in place means to understand the evolving needs and concerns of different regions.
Magnificent.
I like it.
Very good, Philip.
Yeah,
or
now
whoever wrote it.
We also need to, there's a couple thoughts I have in terms of whether or not it's complete. So once it's appropriate, I'd like to ask a couple questions.
Okay, go ahead, Chuck. We have reviewed all the text, and we agreed that the introduction will be reviewed by Rob and myself, and we will propose another text. And the rest, we have gone through all the documents. So if you want to add something or say something, that's fine.
Well, I want to ask a question. One of the things that we emphasized in previous calls and even had some language in the document was with regard to the GNSO believing that there needs to be some flexibility with regard to applying regional requirements. I'm not sure we've captured that in this, and maybe this isn't the place for it, I don't know, but I wanted to at least raise that question.
Chuck
is right, I don't see it in
sentence
this either.
Sentence 1 of GNSO reform.
Excuse me?
Sentence 1 of GNSO reform in the introduction. Well, sentence 1 and 2, for that matter.
Yeah, Philip's right, there is some reference there.
But I think that there was a principle about flexibility in our previous document. I'm trying to find it.
Principle 3.
This type of ICANN regions should be considered in the wider context of the geographical region requirements imposed on all ICANN bodies.
and Principle 11.
11.
Which is Olga's 10.
I don't know.
Or even Olga's 9. A single set of.
A single set of designated regions for ICANN as it is today adds to simplicity, but its goal should be balanced with the evolving needs of ICANN supporting organizations and other bodies. What I was trying to find in my original document after our call last Monday was the text that Chuck is mentioning.
Chuck's point a couple of calls back was, what happens in the case of impossibility where you just can't produce the diversity in your organization?
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, would you like to add a new principle? Perhaps we missed something in the process.
The areas that Philip pointed out
here.
Certainly. Okay.
I found it. In relation with regions and geographic diversity requirements, some flexibility should be allowed for representatives in the GNSO Council. This was agreed in the last call.
Yeah, but I thought that would be moved by either you, Olga, or Chuck into that paragraph on GNSO reform, which is now in the introduction section.
The only problem there, Philip, is that... that issue may not be in the terms of reference then, because it's included up above, and it may be an important term of reference for the group to actually focus on. Now, maybe, and countering my own argument there, maybe that is something that needs to be handled separately from this working group. I don't know. But it's important enough that, is it something that this working group should consider? And if so, it should be included in the terms of reference, in fact, maybe even repeated as a principle in addition to being included under GNSO reform.
I thought for me, the way that you had structured the paper, I thought was quite good because it was the principles now are quite generic.
Yeah.
So the other... SOs and people involved.
Yeah, I think they need to be generic. So
the community-wide group is going to be happy about adopting them. If the principles start getting sort of GNSO stuff.
Well, but the principle could be stated generically.
So
there should be flexibility in the GNSO. In the geographical diversity requirements for all SOs and other bodies. Doesn't have to be restricted to the GNSO.
But isn't that the... Then I'm missing what the objective of Principle 3 is.
Principle 3?
Yeah.
The makeup of ICANN regions should be considered in the wider context of the geographical region requirements imposed on all ICANN bodies.
It's certainly related.
The same. Yes, it is related, but I don't think it's exactly the same.
Well, then maybe we should... We were 3. I mean, I thought that was its objective, unless I'm missing something.
What I suggestion is, why don't we add the principle that we discussed last Monday in relation with regions and geographic diversity requirements, some flexibility should be allowed for representatives in the GNSO Council. And perhaps we can add something at the end, and as a principle.
I would, I think I'd prefer having it in there as a principle, although I do see where Philip's coming from in terms of,
yes.
It's not very directly stated in 3 and other places, but there certainly are some principles there that could be argued to support this.
I would support Chuck. I mean, if you want to make this more notable by having it in the principles, it seems reasonable to me.
Tim, what do you think on this? Are we?
Well, I guess I'm still trying to understand exactly what the principle would be.
Olga, could you read what was in there
before?
Sure.
And this is an outcome from our last call on Monday. It says, in relation with regions and geographic diversity requirements, some flexibility should be allowed for representatives in the GNSO Council.
And, of course, we could make the last part generic.
Of course.
So.
Could go number four.
But what I was getting at originally in that was is that, I mean, in fact, one of the problems right now in the GNSO, and I'll be specific to the GNSO, is that we apply geographical requirements on a constituency by constituency basis, which makes, at least the way it's defined now, that's fairly rigid, and it creates some very difficult situations for meeting the requirements. If there was more flexibility, for example, and I'm not saying we should get this specific, but if the geographical diversity requirements were on a council as a whole rather than on a constituency-by-constituency basis, it would create some flexibility where we could get geographical diversity on the whole council, for example, by using NOMCOM representatives and so forth, without pinning a constituency down to very difficult choices, getting back to where you have to choose somebody that's really not the most qualified, but they meet the letter of the law. So that's...
Chuck, how about this phrasing? I'm coming around to your way of thinking. Changing three, read, the makeup of ICANN's regions should be considered in the wider context of the global effectiveness of ICANN's bodies.
That's good. I think you might also want to still keep in there the geographical region requirements, because I think those have to be looked at.
But isn't that it?
Well, it is, but I'm concerned
about it being abstract
or vague that they miss the point.
Can I make a comment, Tony Harris here? Chuck, I'm not comfortable with this generic reform that you're proposing, because in the ISPCP, at least, geographic diversity has been a good thing. And so if you want to put something in about flexibility, I would tie it to the fact that in some way you should say it should not apply where there is no availability of candidates or members or whatever you want to call them. But not just, it should be flexible, and that's that, because then, well, if it's flexible, why have it? Why have a norm?
Well, Tony, I can ask the same question. If the inflexibility creates situations where you don't have, where you don't end up with quality representation, then why have it? You know? But I understand your point.
It's a debate. We could debate on that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's debatable both ways.
I agree, and I fully understand and respect your point.
What I'm saying is I sympathize with what you want to point out, and I think we should have something in there, but not to the extent where you change everything to a global GNSO representation basis. So as long as you have, let's say, one person on council from the African region, well, then we're covered. That's probably not what I would prefer.
I think there's a difference too between saying that there should be flexibility within the GNSO, and if a particular constituency wants to have stricter requirements, I would certainly think that would be, their particular choice. So I don't think the flexibility would necessarily mean that the ISP couldn't have a stricter requirement to require that they be from different geographic regions or whatever.
I'm not opposed.
I think it's the flexibility that's important, and not assuming that, some particular requirement can be written that's going to apply well to every body within ICANN.
Well, then haven't we come full circle to our existing text?
And I'm not opposed to that leaving the existing text. That's what I was going to start.
Because we're covering off the GNSO point specifically in the introduction, and we're not overly diluting the regions in our principles. To my mind, we've got a good balance then.
That's true.
And I'm okay with that. I wanted to raise it because I needed to think through it more myself, and maybe what we have is really the best we can do here. And then through our representatives on this working group, and hopefully in approval of any terms of reference that are made, and we can have some input there. One other question, and this is kind of on a different line of thought, and
so
that
excuse
is...
Excuse me, Chuck, we leave it as it was?
Yes.
Okay. One other
question I want to raise is with, we don't have much experience in ICANN with regard to community-wide working groups. Should we say anything about that? We didn't necessarily have good experiences in the ID&C working group. To say it kindly, but
or in the who is.
What do you propose we say that they're a disaster?
It could have been worse than the who is. Impossible.
Yeah,
we can express our hopes and good wishes, but maybe it's better just to stay silent.
It might be, but I at least wanted to ask the question. Do we want to just leave that one alone? I'm okay with that. I would hope that the terms of reference would be approved by the community in total. In other words, by the SOs and so forth, not just approved by the CCNSO. Well, certainly this is a really big issue for the CCNSO, and I don't want to minimize that.
Yeah, sure. But to my mind, I think the board's recognized that, hasn't it? And it's the mere fact it's gone out asking everybody to comment.
Should what about some sort of a comment that the terms of reference that there should be a public comment period on the terms of reference before they're finalized?
That's a good idea.
That's a fairly easy thing to do. It would add a little bit of time, but it would at least give one more shot if the terms of reference really don't accomplish some of the things that impact the GNSO.
Fine with that.
Okay.
Now, where would we fit it into this document?
We had some comments in the beginning.
Introduction, probably.
Yeah, we made a specific comment about the terms of reference. I'm trying to find it.
I would probably put that in, Olga, just after our second paragraph in bold.
Yes, the GNSO strongly supports the
formation
of a community wide.
And then just say there should be a, the GNSO recommends a public comment period
right.
On the group's terms of reference, full stop.
Yeah, that's good.
The
GNSO recommends.
Yes.
A public comment period on the working group's terms of reference.
Working terms of. Okay.
And that's all I had.
Great. GNSO, hold on a second, I'm finishing. Great. Okay, so what we have to do, we have to work on the first paragraph with the help of Ross, and we should be finished with our document. What I will do now is send it to you to the list right now with some marks in the first paragraph, and after we agree on the first final paragraph wording, we could ask Glenn to upload it into the draft document section. What do you think?
Perfect.
Good.
Makes sense.
So I will send it right now with some marks at the beginning that we have to rephrase the first paragraph, and we would not need to meet on Monday, right?
Shouldn't have to. Now, it would be good, Olga, if you or Rob sent a note once we've got it wrapped up, and I'm assuming that could happen in the next 24 hours, that we notify the council that we have a draft. Now, it may be too late to really consider in the council meeting on Thursday, but it'd still be good to notify them of that.
What I can do is send it to you right now, as we have worked all the documents. You can make any comments until tomorrow, and maybe by that time, Rob, we could perhaps finish the first paragraph.
Could the first paragraph be finished in the next few hours, and then just one document go out to the group?
That's great. What Glenn suggested me is upload it into the draft document section and send the URL to the council.
Right. What I was asking was, Rob, can you doctor that language in the first paragraph shortly so that it can be in, so that this group of people can review the changes we made today and provide any final comment within 24 hours?
Yes, I will do that right now, Olga, and then send that to you, and you can then look it over and incorporate it into the documents that you send to the group in an hour or so.
Okay.
Good.
So
that's the plan.
By the end of the day, we could have the whole document finished. And then, do you agree if we say Glenn to upload it into the draft document section and we send the URL to the council?
Yes.
Okay, so let's stay tuned and see our final version. Thank you for all the work.
Thank you, Olga, and sure. Rob, and everybody else. It's been a good, productive group.
Well,
thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.